This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross, back here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There he is, our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. The rains have subsided here in the Tennessee, Kentucky area. It is great to be back with you, back in the saddle, my man. Lots to talk about here in July. We're halfway through the year, if you can believe it already, and that does mean football season, Jensen. It's right around the corner.
Nice time to be able to take a deep breath, and good to have you back, our fearless leader. A nice week to recharge. Great to have you get a little R&R there, my friend. All the pictures and the videos looked great. I hope everyone at home enjoyed it. And I got to tell you, the golf game looks like it's getting there. I myself went out, played a little 18 with a couple of friends there on Saturday. To say that we would be a lethal scramble duo, I think, is the understatement. So I'm not sure where you'd put us in one of those pro-ams. I would say we've got to be in like a 12 to 15 to 1. But one of the shorter shots on the board, I think, would be good. But good to have you back, brother. Nice little time to catch our breath here in baseball season as well.
No doubt about it. If we're going to do a VSiN scramble, I got to work on my short game. So does Scotty Scheffler, apparently. We'll get to that a lot this week as we get ready for the final major of the year this week in England at the Open Championship. But what a show we have lined up here. Of course, Zachary Cohen's going to join the program as well. Going to get his thoughts, certainly what he saw at Wimbledon, what he might see here at the United States Open, the last major of the year here on the tennis side. And, of course, Will Hill. Should have been more podcasts. Hopefully you're watching or listening on the way in. I was on the show this week with Will. It was great to catch up with Will and talk a lot of Major League Baseball and beyond. But, Jensen, that's where we're going to start the conversation today. We have reached that all-star break here before we get to the Home Run Derby tonight in Philadelphia, and that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
We'll get into the particulars and the numbers tonight for the Home Run Derby, but Jensen, very quickly, just from a player's perspective that you can bring to this conversation better than most, what is this like for the guys that are not, say, in the Home Run Derby at the All-Star game tomorrow? Is it really a break that they're going to get for the next 3-4 days?
Yes, it is. And, yesterday, one of those situations from the betting angles, too, where you kind of had to have that in your handicap. You had some of these teams that are kind of like, God, I cannot wait to get to the break. So of that last day of spring training feel. Everyone is not going to Philadelphia, probably had already those tickets to go see loved ones or, kind of get away from it all. So the other side of it, Dave, is what we'll handicap a little bit later here. What we'll see tonight, changes in the rules for the Home Run Derby that will drastically change how you look at who you're backing. So a lot to dive into later on, but cannot wait. It is star power and then some for this particular Derby here tonight.
You know, we know that the pitching is set up for tomorrow night's games. Christopher Sanchez will be on the bump here, obviously, in Philadelphia. That's going to go a long way. Dylan Cease is going to get the start here for the Blue Jays for the American League side here. Cam Schlittler will attend. He will not pitch. We know the Miz with some arm issues here. Something I talked about with Will on the aforementioned Should Have Been More podcast. Jensen, this is real, right? For certain teams that they don't want certain guys to go. And I think we can understand why. Yes, it's the classic. It's the All-Star game. We all love it. But you do have to safeguard some of these pitchers from pitching tomorrow night.
Yeah, case-to-case situation, and as far as Schlittler goes, this was more of an individual decision on, trying to kind of catch his collective breath, too, of all the workload that he's had and some of the issues that he's faced here the last month or so. It sounded like, from what John Schneider had alluded to yesterday, it was going to be Dylan Cease starting, regardless if Cam Schlittler was available. Apparently, he and Aaron Boone had a conversation about it, but I'll put it this way. Christopher Sanchez is going to have one of those pinch me moments. Rarely do you see it, Dave, where the host city for the All-Star game also has arguably the best pitcher in the league that year and also the guy that is wearing the home uniform. So what a moment it's going to be individually. I think Dave Roberts said it perfectly. He goes, he's been one of the best pitchers, if not the best. And I mean, how many times does this happen where you get the opportunity to throw the first pitch in your own backyard? Cannot wait to see the lineups, which we will get later on today, what both managers decide to go with. No Shohei Ohtani, though, Dave. No Aaron Judge. So a chance for some new stars, if you will, some new mega stars to be born with what we'll see tomorrow night.
The stars in the World Cup are still the stars. And, you know, after everything we get through, it's still the big four that are going to be there and going to play in the semifinals tomorrow. That's going to be France and Spain, England and Argentina. Boy, I mean, we could have just saved ourselves all the drama for the last month here, Jensen, and let the big boys duke it out.
Well, that's the operative word, drama. I mean, it took some drama specifically for the defending champs in Argentina to get here. What a scare they had with Cape Verde. The ultimate scare, down 2-0 to Egypt with only 15 minutes left in regulation. They have one of the epic comebacks in all of World Cup history. And then the drama also for England. They need extra time to punch their way through into the semifinals. And then on the flip side, just kind of the two behemoths, man. It kind of the chess pieces moving closer and closer together between France and Spain. What an epic semifinal we will get tomorrow. Dave, I told you this last week. I'll say it again today. The happiest people right now, FIFA, and yes, Fox Sports. They could not have asked for a better semifinal for Tuesday and Wednesday. They get exactly what they wanted. And I am very, very excited to break it down here tomorrow and Wednesday as well.
Yeah, this is exactly on Park Avenue than places like that. They're going to be counting those dollars here when you get the big four at this stage. I know we'd love to see the United States in there, but outside of the United States, as good as they could have hoped for here with that big four. I'm not saying that you started a craze in the cross-sport parlay, but it's certainly a staple of our show, Jensen. I know you have a third of that leg home now that Yannick Sinner has captured Wimbledon once again at the All England Club.
Yeah, back-to-back champs, and hey, he needed to come back yet again. Alexander Zverev was outstanding and equal to the task. Yep. Getting that first set pushed him to the limit in set number two. But once he got a couple of break points, boy, it felt like it was all full steam ahead. And credit where it's due. Linda Nuskova, I mean, down and out. I mean, it had, what, four or five championship points. Could not put away Muhova there, but ends up finding a way back. She gets the win in the three-set final. But you're right. We are one-third of the way home for the big three-leg parlay across three different sports. So Sinner to win Wimbledon, that's home. Now this week, Rory McIlroy, who looked pretty solid, and a little audition, a little warm-up here in the Scottish Open. We have him second shortest shot on the board. And then also the Dodgers have the best record in baseball to win the World Series. So one down, two to go. Let's see what old Roars can do this week. I know you'll have a pretty good deep dive in what we'll see for the final major here upcoming. Mm-hmm. And excited to see it play out for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned Rory. He had three really good rounds, just one indifferent round there on Saturday, else he probably would have won this Scottish Open. So I like where your ticket's sitting there from that second leg, and we know about the Dodgers for sure. I mentioned Rory at the Scottish, and this is at the Renaissance Club, and now they're going to get ready for the Open Championship over there in England. So you leave Scotland, and Tom Kim is your winner. Yeah, Tom Kim, 24 years young. He feels like he's been around forever. He's already won four times on the PGA Tour, so really strong Sunday finish for him. I had some tickets on Robert McIntyre, gave them out with you in the Moose last week. He does get me a share of low euro, had a four-footer that he could have gotten it outright for me, but he shares that ticket. But it was nice to get that home with Matthew Fitzpatrick. But Kim is the winner. And how about this from one better? Our buddy Ben Falks tweeted this out yesterday, that at DK Sports cashes a ticket for over $4 million on Tom Kim. The better wagered $47,700. Again, why the denomination of 47.7? I don't know. But he wins over $4 million, Jensen Lewis. He, she, group, not sure. But again, when you're winning as much as what the actual player wins in a bet, that's a pretty good Sunday.
We just had this happen a week or so ago, right? And another one of those weirdly, large, long shot, big five-digit wagers that ends up getting $4 million as well. hey, whatever syndicate. I think it's a syndicate, my friend. There's no way whoever's got that collateral, A, and whatever book, obviously DraftKings here in this instance, they got to be taking it, you know, in a larger amount here. Maybe one person is placing it, but as a part of a larger group there. Wild. And I mean, this is going to be fascinating to see now that everyone's had kind of a little week or so to play in those conditions, what it will look like heading in to where we will be on Thursday morning.
84-1. That was the number they got on Tom Kim to cash that. Whoever that group is, if it is in fact that group, I'm with you. Over 4 milli, you cashed that one yesterday. If you had Conor McGregor tickets, I feel for you on Saturday night. I'm going to talk a lot more about this as the show goes on. It lasted barely over 1 minute due to a knee injury. Tries to throw a kind of a switch kick, and he comes down on his right leg, and Conor McGregor was done. You know, Max Holloway, to his credit, was looking at the referee saying, hey, he's finished. And Conor said, fight. Like, Conor knew that his leg at that point was compromised, and the only chance he had was to try to work something off the ground, off his back. Max was smart enough to make him stand up, and when he did, he couldn't stand on that leg. And it's over. We're getting into some of these conspiracy theories as the show goes on, because there's a lot out there. We're going to hear from Dana White on this as well. But, Jensen, how about this? This, again, from our buddy Ben Falks. It was the most bet MMA event in history. So McGregor to win by KO or TKO at plus 275 was the most bet prop. Thomas Gable and I were texting. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on as well. Conor McGregor still moves the number like nobody else can move it from a fan's perspective and a betting perspective. And this is what we got. Barely over 1 minute because of a knee. And again, we'll get to some of those conspiracy theories and some of those wagers that we had. And certainly what a bizarre, wild night we saw in Las Vegas on Saturday night. So much more to get to. Let's break into that home run derby here, Jensen. Some numbers you've got associated with that. That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
There is no shortage of betting opportunities this summer, from daily Major League Baseball, World Cup soccer, to the countdown to football season. We cannot wait for that. And that's why it's a perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. You're going to get VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including our all-new 26-27 NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming season in perpetuity. Plus, you're going to get your daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport all year long. Remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you will get. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. We've got the home run derby tonight. Jensen, as a pitcher, when you see these guys, normally it could be your dad, could be your brother, could be your pitching coach. The pitchers, when you get into the breaking down the odds, how important is it for these guys to groove these babies in there and kind of get in that rhythm? I think that's the part that nobody ever discusses.
Okay, so great idea and thought there, because if our format previously had continued where there was a shot clock, if you will, massive pressure on the bullpen pitcher or the BP pitcher, because you've got to immediately get in a groove because it's tick, tick, tick. Now with the rule changes, and for people just waking up with us that we're not aware of how Major League Baseball changed it. So now we've removed the shot clock, if you will, and now we go on swings. Okay, so that have that top of mind as we start to go through the odds here, Dave. So round one is 20 swings. The top four home run totals advanced. The tiebreaker This is also big to think about. The tiebreaker is the longest distance home run that that hitter has in round one. Okay, so that's critical when you look at the names that are involved here for this derby. Okay, so we put that to the side. Then the semis and the finals, Dave, are 15 swings. What will be part of my handicap here is that now, to take your original question, those BP pitchers do not have added pressure to be able to get in a groove, because if the hitter decides not to swing, no penalty. Okay, we don't have a clock. Right. We're not worried about it. And so the guys are going to wait for their pitches, and they're going to wait to kind of see it, which is great. So that's going to allow, I think part of the strategy there will be the hitter telling their respective pitcher, hey, get it to where you feel good, and then kind of let me know when you feel like you're right. And then from there, now the hitter, because it's just 20 swings, Dave. Okay, so if you hit a home run, it's still a swing. Okay, so when you look at the round totals, that's going to also factor in. Okay, all that being said, here's where I got to. I still think this is Kyle Schwarber's event to lose. He is as built, outside of Pete Alonso, there is no one in the modern era built better for the moment and the theatricality than Kyle Schwarber. I do like Munetaka Murakami a little bit. And I know he's the shorter odds. He's kind of come a little bit closer there. Junior Caminero, at some places before, obviously, Schwarber declared, had been your short shot. And I wouldn't mind, you know, taking some a little bit on the top two guys. Here's where I went. And Dave, you can find these props on FanDuel. There are different ways to play some prop wagers that will give you different, you know, payouts and things, instead of worrying about, okay, I got to pick the guy who wins. So I started with a market called Lasers. And what that is a home run with an exit velocity of 110 miles an hour or higher. And I went with the guy that we've seen many a time hit some moonshots, but also hit some absolute screaming memes. And that's our great friend of the program, Jack Caglione. I like him for three or more lasers. Again, a homer with an exit velo of 110 miles an hour or more at plus $1.17. I did get a boost there on FanDuel. I'm going to play that for 2 units. Okay. Then I'm going to play Kyle Schwarber for 1.5 over his posted round total in round one of 10.5. I think he'll get 11 homers at least in those 20 swings. I also like Kyle Schwarber and Munetaka Murakami to hit 25 total combined, at least 25 or more home runs combined in round one for plus +240. At that one, I put for 1.25. And then for 0.75, I'm going to take Jordan Walker, who might be off the beaten path for some people. But for the longest home run, I know a lot of people are going to look at Cags. A lot of people are going to look at Caminero. Give me Jordan Walker. Sneaky little play here. He is a little shorter shot on the board, but I think a lot of people will overlook him and look at some of the other more notable names here. So those are the prop wagers of how I've played the home run derby tonight. I am nearly there on Schwarber with a boost to win this competition. DraftKings is offering a very, very healthy boost here to any home run derby bet tonight. I'm likely getting there on Schwarber, but I also probably going to have some shares of Murakami. But Dave, bottom line, we are in for a treat, man. This is going to be so cool with so many big names, and we finally get to see where the balls land. Instead of worrying about the clock and getting in as many throws as possible, this is going to be awesome tonight.
Yeah, balls in the air. We got dual boxes, right? Got to go back to the hitter because the time. Like, it's baseball, people. Relax, all right? We're going to enjoy this thing. Let's take it all in. By the way, let's get into the nerding out stats part of this thing. Left field line is 329. They got a 10.5-foot wall there. Left field power alley is 374. Center field straightaway, we wouldn't advise us. 401, 6-foot wall there in center. Right field power alley is 369. And to the right field line, it's 330 with a wall that's 13.25 feet. So a little bit higher wall there. Is there any disadvantage to lefties with the height of the wall? Because the elements are pretty much the same, right? The dimensions are pretty similar. A little bit higher wall out there in right than you have out in left.
You know, looking at and the left-handed hitters in this competition, Schwarber, Ben Rice, Munetaka Murakami, Bryce Harper, and Jack Caglione.
Yep.
They all, with their launch angle, Dave, there's not really a very line drive heavy guy. You know, like Harper, I mean, they're all pretty majestic. They all get some pretty good launch angle on where they are here. You know, Ben Rice has had a tendency to kind of, you know, hit him a little bit lower trajectory rise, but not by a large margin. I mean, he can definitely get after it. And boy, did he kind of have a nice audition here the last week or so. He got hot at the right time. Yeah. Especially on the field. So he'll be a fun guy to watch. But you're looking at and I know Wilson Contreras is the longest odds, and I don't envision him, you know, making it into the semifinal round. But what you're about to see showmanship-wise from a junior Caminero, strap in, everybody. This dude has got a flair for the dramatic. It is going to be some tape measure blasts. Jordan Walker, the same, man. It's been a breakout campaign for him with the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah. But remember, Dave, ballyhooed prospect, one of the top prospects in baseball coming up, and a lot of that predicated on his raw power. Well, he has kind of harnessed that with a polish now that has been so productive on the field. But to answer your question kind of roundaboutly, I don't anticipate the temperature, and I'll double check it here as we get closer, but it should be very favorable. It's going to be a little bit more heated, a little more humidity, but you don't have to worry about the clock. So you're not like huffing and puffing trying to get through it. So I don't think fatigue is going to be as much of a factor this time around with the rule changes for sure.
We're going to check in on some of your plays here as we're at the All-Star break here on the NL East later on in this hour as well. But I did want to bring up one point about Caminero, which I think is interesting. So plus 490 to win this thing, and maybe you don't like that number out there, that's fine. You mentioned that he's going to put on the show and it'll be visible on a big stage. And what I'm getting at here, Jensen, is if you're looking for MVP tickets, and I know you've got one on Caminero, sometimes that visibility for a guy that plays in Tampa that maybe the rest of the world isn't paying attention to, they might pay attention to him tonight. Now, I know at the end of the year, the body work's got to be there in order to win MVP. But that's the type. This is the type of stage that could be a welcoming, kind of a coming out party, if you will, and a welcoming committee for those that don't know about Junior Caminero.
Great point. And right now, he is the second shortest odds, plus 450 on DraftKings behind Yordan Alvarez, who is the odds-on favorite. Minus $1.65 for American League MVP. I do have a 20-1 Junior Caminero MVP ticket for the American League side. It has been a flourish to the finish here in the first half for him. And of course, he now has the added bonus, Dave. And we say this a lot in the award markets. You got to have Narrative Street on your side, right? Mm-hmm. The Rays, you know, one of the best records in the American League. Yordan Alvarez with the Astros, they've been much better, but they just lost a series to their rival there in Texas. The Rangers got walked off yesterday. You know, is Yordan Alvarez in an Astro uniform after the trade deadline? I tend to think so with how really tight the American League postseason race is. But you know it as well as anyone. This will get the entire nation captivated. Remember, Caminero was a runner-up last year. Imagine he wins it this year and what that would do for him coming out of the second half.
I mean, we all knew who the kid was in Ken Griffey Jr., but you remember those moonshots he hit at Camden Yards way back in the day? I mean, people still think about that when you think about this competition. So the opportunity to really become one of those guys you talk about here tonight for Junior Caminero and beyond. Let's get back. Did we have a conspiracy theory Saturday night in Las Vegas? Well, was something wrong with Conor McGregor before the fight, Jensen Lewis? We'll break it down next right here. Beaston by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We have reached the All-Star break here in Major League Baseball. Jensen, we'll get to some of your prognostications that you had before the year, see how they shape up now as we reach this Midsummer's Classic tomorrow. Of course, a home run derby tonight. We'll talk much more about that as the show goes on. I did want to talk about something that a lot of people have been talking about here for the last 24 hours and beyond, and that is what we saw Saturday night at UFC 329. Now, just to give you a little idea from a betting perspective here, what this was looking like, Jensen, I was getting some texts from Thomas Gable over the weekend leading up to Saturday night's main event between Conor McGregor and Max Holloway. And look, whenever it's a Conor McGregor fight, throughout the history of his time in the organization, he has captivated not only the fans' perspective, but the betting markets as well. And as we talked about earlier in the program, it was the most bet upon prop in the history of MMA betting Saturday night, Conor McGregor to knock out Max Holloway at about plus 275. Now, TG had texted me and he said they might write 5 to 10 times more on this UFC card than they did at UFC Freedom 250. Unbelievable interest in this card. McGregor still has the draw. So this was before the fight. And then he texted me and he said, Max keeps getting more and more expensive, but we're going to need him for a big decision tonight. So the books, at least Thomas Gable at the Borgata in Atlantic City, they with all the money coming in late on Max, and if you saw that line move, McGregor went back to about a $3 betting underdog, right? So we talked about this leading up to the fight for months. This line move came way down on Conor. I actually ended up playing Max, as I talked about here on a couple shows last week, including with you and the Moose. I played Max Holloway at minus 205. It got that low, and then it ballooned back up. Max went over a $3 betting favorite right before the fight. So again, at the end of this thing, Thomas said they had 4 times the handle than they had at UFC Freedom 250, which was at that time. We thought maybe the biggest handle they were going to have. 4 times the handle on the betting market on this fight card on Saturday. That's the power of Conor McGregor. Then we saw what happened. Conor goes out there in the first seconds and he throws a switch kick. He comes down on his right leg. And all of a sudden, he can't get up. He gets up once, immediately falls back to the octagon side. Max Holloway is perplexed. He's looking at Conor. He's looking at the ref like, do I want to hurt this guy? His family's there. His kids are there, as Max talked about in the post-fight. And he ended up going down to the ground until the referee stands him back up, and Conor can't move. You saw the wince on his face. Fight is called. And now, Jensen, what do we get? Because we get that it's Conor McGregor. Conspiracy theories. Fixes in. Books should rescind all the money. Should give it all back. But you can see the videos. Look at him warming up. He hurt his leg before the fight. He's tripping over his flip-flop as he's getting ready to get into the octagon. We're hearing all this stuff. I went back and I watched and I watched and I watched. And my conclusion was, man, I get it. If it's the most bet upon prop out there, you're mad. I get it. You're very pissed off that you lost that bet if you bet on Conor McGregor. I would be too, but it was not fixed. He was not compromised going into that moment. There have been tons of examples. Let me just give you a few right off the top of my head. Alexander Rakic in a fight against Jan Blachowicz. I had tickets on Rakic and the over. He's dominating the fight, takes a false step back, blows out his knee. It turns into Blachowicz in the under. You lose the bet. I was upset. Guy blew out his knee. What do you want to do right then and there? Conor McGregor. Dare we forget against Dustin the Diamond Poirier. Gets up at the end of the first round, takes a step back, busts up his leg. That's why we hadn't seen him in 5 years. Fluke thing happened. Go back to Brian Ortega, T-City, as Bruce Buffer is introducing him. He's getting hyped. He's jumping up and down. He comes down, almost busts his ankle. And he actually ended up winning that fight, ironically. People fight hurt all the time. Injured is different. So Dana White took to the podium right after the fight on Saturday night, and he had this address. He'd actually left the podium, Jensen, then came back to make this final statement.
We were talking about the guy over here earlier asking about there being a pre-injury. Just on my accounts, the face-off that day is at 80 million views, right? So if there was a pre-existing injury, somebody would have noticed it. He was limping, put his shoes on, he ran right at him. I don't think there was. Anything is possible, but he sure didn't look like it. And for 80 million just on my accounts, you know, that number's got to be massive. And nobody noticed anything. So there you go.
Okay, first of all, we're not doctors, right? We don't need to, 80 million people don't need to go, hey, look at his knees. Something's wrong. But to Dana's larger point, right, that we all watch this stuff, at least with Conor McGregor, with a fine-tooth comb. You probably going, wait, well, something looks a little amiss. You know, Jensen, could he have had something that he was dealing with? Absolutely. That's a possibility. But again, these fighters are very open about this, that a lot of them in camps do get dinged up. You talk to any fighter. They're never 100% going into a fight. And I'm sure you as an athlete can relate to this too. And I'm not saying that Conor was or did have anything going in. I just think this is people that are going to be conspiratorial by nature because they think, oh, he went out there and threw a kick and then the fight was over, that somehow this is compromised and that these betting markets moved because of information of a Conor McGregor knee injury that I do not believe existed. I get it. People want to put the tinfoil hats on. fighters, athletes play injured, being hurt is very different. I'm sure you've had issues where you didn't feel great, Jensen. They gave you the ball. You're going to take the ball.
Yeah, well, again, fake it to make it, right? And you know internally if you are vulnerable slash in jeopardy injury-wise, and I would have to believe in my heart of hearts that there is already stuff, not that you're thinking about it in the moment, but Dave, you'd know more about this than I do. Contractually, I have to imagine there is a guarantee for the fighter to start the fight. If he had not taken, you know, the ring and been able to get underway, I'm sure there are financial implications there. Again, not saying that that was on his mind as he came into the octagon, even got the final checks. But, you know, again, we've had the conspiracy, Jordan Spieth saying, oh, we got to get away with live betting because, you know, people are haranguing us and all this crap.
Right.
I don't think they worry about that in the UFC world. But as an athlete, I mean, I've had those days nowhere near where I'm facing brutal bodily physical contact the way that UFC fighters do. But you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are not 100% or you are even more so in danger of hurting yourself further, okay? So as you said, not everyone's healthy, especially in the fighting world. So where was that line? If McGregor, who has done this many years, I'm guaranteeing you he's felt worse in previous fights than maybe where he did entering on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's where I am too. It's gambling is the scapegoat. And it's an easy scapegoat, right? Like Jordan Spieth did. You can just say, if you don't like somebody's fan behavior, if you don't like the way a result went, you just go, well, that looks wrong to me. So therefore, Vegas had something to do with it. The boogeyman Vegas had something to do with that. I just don't see it that way. Again, I don't know we'll ever see Conor McGregor back inside of an octagon ever again, because if it is an ACL, and by the way, he's throwing those switch kicks in the, you know, leading up to the fight, warming up. And if your leg can't stand, you wouldn't be able to do that backstage, neither here nor there. But just again, we're not doctors. And I think it's just very, very easy to throw it out there to say, oh, this must have been rigged because the result didn't go. By the way, I had the over. So I wasn't happy either, people, but I'm not going to sit here today and go, that thing was fixed because I didn't get the result that I wanted either. I did have a max ticket, but I really wanted that over 2.5. Got nowhere near it once the leg was busted up. So people, just remember that in the betting market, we don't need to throw out gambling as the reason the result went the way it did. We're going to talk much more about the World Cup here. Obviously, we got the two heavyweights coming up here tomorrow. So we'll have more time as well tomorrow. But Jensen, very quickly, in this Final Four of the World Cup, we know that it's as good as it can get without the United States. I know we all have some betting tickets and interest in this thing. How do you shape up just on the periphery here, this big Final Four in the World Cup?
So first of all, the venues are a huge handicap. Both of them are going to be indoors. You get it in Dallas tomorrow for France and Spain, so it'll be a comfortable, controlled environment. England is probably thrilled that they get to go indoor after, you know, at one point they were looking at potentially delaying the match because of the heat and humidity down there in Miami. So again, controlled environment, Mercedes-Benz Stadium there in Atlanta, England and Argentina. Much more to come on this one tomorrow, but I think more importantly, it's the Golden Boot race now, where, you know, Erling Haaland in Norway eliminated. So you're probably down to Mbappe as the odds on right now. Messi is at plus $1.45. I think Harry Kane, if you think England, obviously he'd have to make the final for him to still be in this, trailing by two goals of Messi and Mbappe. How about Jude Bellingham? Come on down, dude. What a World Cup for this guy. All the praise and rightfully so to Harry Kane pre-tournament, but this dude is a stud. This dude is the truth. What a performance he has put on in the knockout stage, just in of its own right.
We'll break down this a lot more as the show goes, and certainly tomorrow as well. And by the way, you do have the other third place game, so theoretically you could still have the equal number of games for these players to still play in, part of that handicap as well.
Right.
There are tiebreakers, and there are tiebreakers too, right? So you get the assist. And I think Mbappe right now would be leading that if it ended today with the tiebreaker. So there's some nuance a little bit to this Golden Boot race that we'll get to. But right now you can understand why Kylian Mbappe is the favorite, odds-on favorite, by the way, at minus $1.40 to get it done. Boy, Jensen, hindsight is always 20/20. If we could go back to the crystal ball before the year and make some of these baseball bets again, well, you and I would never have to work again. It would be all over because we just do, like, you know, Back to the Future. We'll discuss some of those time machine bets when we come back right here on VSiN by the Books.
in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
How about this deal? Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that are going to put two Bucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. So one winner is going to receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another one's going to win a $1,000 entry into Circa Millions. So both winners are going to receive a full-season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. So enter by Sunday, August 2nd, for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. Do you think your name's going to be up on that wall? Yes, sir. That's pretty confident considering the company you're in. Yes, sir. I like that in a pilot. Jensen, you're going to be going out there. Is it going to be a whirlwind Vegas trip for you to get up with one of our Vegas proxies?
Yeah, it is. Well, I'll be in touch with David, who helped get us set up. Of course, Tom took over us last year, and I'm going to do not only our show entry for Circa Millions, I'm going to go it alone, too, for a solo entry into Millions. So we'll be out there at the end of August to jump in there. A couple of quick days. We're going to catch the Sphere for the first time ever. Michelle and I are going to catch the show there on Saturday then right back out back home on Sunday. But right towards it, I think that's week zero. Too. So we'll get a little foot in the water here on some great college football getting us kicked off, but I'm going to be here before you know it, my friend. Cannot wait.
You know, you mentioned it. I did have a great time at vacations, being with mom and dad, seeing the family and friends for the last week. It was fantastic. And then they always ask me, and I love being here. It's fantastic. But every time I go back to Vegas, I don't care if it's for a day, it's for a couple days, a week. It does have that coming home feeling. So you're going to love it all over again. And checking out the Sphere, nothing quite like it. Let's get to some of these bold takes that you had in Major League Baseball. And this is why we had the VSiN betting guide. And you put these things out there. And look, you try to crystal ball this thing the best you can. And some of these look really good. And like me and some of these other ones, I go, man, I wish I had a redo on a couple of these. You were big on the Braves. And so far for the first half, Jensen, I know they leaked a little bit of oil here going to the break. But so far, so good if you're a Braves backer.
I tell you, you know, this is also the fun exercise of baseball is the hardest as far as season-long predictions of any sport, Dave. Mm. It's so many games. It's a six-month marathon. So many different tectonic plates shifting. But yeah, let's start with where I was. And I had picked the Braves to win the National League East. My bold take in our VSiN MLB betting guide was the Braves win the National League East and fly over their win total, taking home 92 or more victories. Well, as we sit here at the All-Star break, Dave, Atlanta, they are in first place. They are actually on pace for 90 wins, according to FanGraphs. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the division as it stands right now, boy, it looked to be a blowout, at least through the first 2 months. And oh boy, here come these Philadelphia Phillies. Hey, the Miami Marlins, come on down. We got three-team race right now. Phillies are two games back. The Marlins four back here of the Atlanta Braves. And let's talk about the Marlins real quick, because my other bold take that's off to a great start, Miami finishes above 500 and challenges for the wild card. Well, Miami is indeed on pace to be over 500, 83-79, according to FanGraphs. And as we get to the end of the first half of the season, Dave, if the National League playoffs started today, Miami Marlins would be your final wild card team in the National League. So they indeed are living up to my bold take at the moment. Now, we usually have a couple that fall, you know, pretty hard. not exactly what we had envisioned before the season. Unfortunately, buddy, it happens with your New York Mets. I had Francisco Alvarez hits 30 or more homers, and Freddie Peralta finishes top three in the NL Cy Young voting. And neither of those are going to get home, not even close. So, hey, these things do happen. Also, the same with the Nationals, challenging for the worst regular season record in 2026. That was my bold take for them. I wrote down in my notes, whoops, they're actually decent this year. Now, okay, do they have staying power? I think that's the issue. We know they can hit, right? They're the only team, Dave, in Major League Baseball, outside, actually, they in Pittsburgh. This is wild. Okay, I just wanted to double check to make sure my eyes were not deceiving me. Dave, the top two scoring offenses in Major League Baseball at the All-Star break are the Washington Nationals and the Pittsburgh Pirates at 516 total runs. Let me redo that. In the wild card ranks, the wild card is where they are. The Dodgers have 506 runs. So there are three teams at the moment that have 500 or more runs scored. But my bigger point is that no one, and I mean no one, would have predicted Pittsburgh and Washington to lead the league in scoring at the All-Star break. Mm. The other problem, though, Dave, with Washington, they've given up 509 runs. Yikes. That's not gonna bode well for your playoff chances. Let me start the conversation with you on the bold takes with Philadelphia, because it was something you and I touched on when they made the change. Rob Thompson out, Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly in as the interim manager. It has felt like they have completely gone into the phone booth and come out as supermen. I think they're staying power. I think they're a force to be reckoned with. I mean, when you run out Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez is going to start the All-Star game. Jesus Cesardo has been amazing. Back in their bullpen actually looks viable now. And the offense with all the All-Stars, with Schwarber, with Harper, with Brandon Marsh, who's going to start for the National League. They look like they could be that true in UFC terms. They could be that contender, that number one contender to the champion LA Dodgers right now.
They kind of feel like Philadelphia might be the Patty Pimblett of the NL East right now. I kind of see it, right? The emerging team, a little bit older than Patty these days, but 11 games over 500. Once they made that change, they've been the best team in baseball. I mean, that it's an incredible turnaround from what we've seen. And it's interesting because the names really haven't changed, Jensen, to the most point. They've just started to play like the names in the back of the bubblegum card here with those veterans that they have. I wonder what they're going to do at the break. I would assume that they would add to this pitching staff, and getting Zach Wheeler back has been a revelation. We all know how great he is, but you didn't know with the blood clots. It was a serious issue that he had, and you wondered if he'd be the same guy. He's been that and then some. Look, if you do a checklist, an inventory of your NL East predictions, you're over 500, my friend. I think you're 3-2 mm-hmm. at this point, right? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty darn good when you look at it without kind of sight unseen of what you're going to get. Because I think we all thought, and I thought so too, guilty as charged, the Mets would be, you know, at least the third team we're talking about this in this NL East. They're the last team, and it's not close. So mm-hmm. I think it's a big swing and a miss for all Mets backers out there. The Flying Fish, our team, you and I aligned on from the jump. I got them at plus 750 to make the postseason. I've got their win total over 72.5. I feel like one of those is going to be good. That got swept over the weekend, lost the last three coming in. So not a great ending to their beginning here in the first half. But I'm with you. I think Philadelphia certainly has a staying power. I think Miami does too, but it will be that question. I think Anthopoulos down there in the ATL will buy if needed, but I'm sure he's thinking too, man, how much do we have to buy and how much do we have to just get healthy? Like we've put the team together, and if we just had all of our pieces, we wouldn't be in this predicament in the slide they had. Philadelphia the same way. Once they got healthy and you got Wheeler back, you went, wow, this team is really, they're really good and what we expected. Miami would be the team. Do they need to add Jensen? Look, they don't strike out a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They're not hitting the ball out for a ton of power, but man, they put the ball in play. They've got good enough pitching, maybe not elite pitching. Like, do you think they're going to push some chips in here before the deadline?
So offensively, when you look at Miami, they are, 22nd? So let's see, that's eighth best in fewest strikeouts offensively. Always something we look at when you're looking for postseason teams. That's a great offensive statistic for people who have not jumped in on the futures market yet. For instance, just for example, Tampa Bay, the fewest amount of offensive strikeouts in the league. Translation, no shock. They're in first place and one of the best teams in the American League. Toronto, ironically, is the second fewest offensive strikeouts, yet they're still on the outside looking in. DraftKings already has some of these exactas as far as playoff seeds that you can bet on right now. The Phillies are $9 favorite to make the postseason. We think they're getting in no matter what. A very intriguing market here, the number four seed, which is the top wild card. The Phillies are at plus 380. The Cubs are the short shot at plus $1.70. And why I bring that up, if the postseason started today on the National League side, the Cubs would be by a half game over the Phillies, the four seed. But I could envision that I would rather back Philadelphia at least to have a share of that number four seed as the top wild card. And then you could potentially look at them as a 2 seed or a 3 seed, and all that predicated on the LA Dodgers obviously having the top record in the National League. They are a game and a half ahead of the Brewers in that category. The Braves would be the 3 seed, your National League East champs. They are 5 behind the Dodgers. So just a different way to make a correlated play. A lot more for us to dive into in Daily Diamond on how you can really monetize these markets.
And I'll say this, your prediction was Philadelphia makes it and loses in the wild card round. If they do, kind of like Conor McGregor, do we ever see this group back together ever again if they can't make that run to the World Series this year? So much more to get to, including Big Four in the World Cup. We'll break down the semis next right here on VSiN by the Book.